Thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. I was told them how much of a blessing it was, how much I missed them out in Idaho. Been able to see several different churches out there, but haven't seen one yet that quite had our worship team. So they have a great, great ministry, and it's sure appreciate the work that they do with that every week. It's good to be back in Ypsilanti. I want to tell you something. Calvary Baptist Church is a wonderful church. You all were exceedingly gracious, exceedingly kind to me and my family when we left here about 6 weeks ago. And I greatly miss, and our family greatly misses all of you. So be assured we think of you and pray for you. And we ask that the Lord will continue to watch over and bless Calvary Baptist Church. I want to thank Joe and Delmi and Mary Jane Capice for their gracious hospitality to me these last few days. And Mary Jane makes sure that everything's taken care of. So I appreciate that very much. And it was a great joy to be able to do Brooke Dietz's and Billy's wedding yesterday. Brooke Hudson now, let me get that straight. I was still calling Verity Thurmond. I was saying Verity Thurmond even just a few weeks ago, and I caught myself. Okay, it's Verity Hibbets. Got to get that, because it's always Verity and Jamie Thurmond to me, but I'm still getting it right. Well, these are exciting days here at Calvary Baptist Church, and I greatly rejoice whenever I think of the fact that God is calling Pastor Newcomer and his family to come here to Calvary. God is giving you an opportunity to be part of something great. Only God knows all the wonderful things he's going to do here in the future as you work together with your new pastor. I have tremendous confidence that God will use Pastor Newcomer's leadership to take Calvary Baptist Church to new heights. As you know, my habit has been to speak through Bible passages as I've been here for 16 years. That's almost exclusively what I've done, and in the recent years, mostly preaching through the Old Testament. Well, I'm not doing that today. This morning, I'm just going to give some practical instruction to help you prepare for your new pastor. I know Barry Jones has done some of this too, so Lord willing, some of this will just reinforce what he's been sharing with you as well. To begin this morning, I want to remind you of what Pastor Newcomer said in his note when he accepted the call to come here to Calvary, because I was greatly impressed by these words. He said, "Let's grow together. Let's reach Washtenaw County and the nations. The gospel is our assignment and our joy as a church family." I really love that. That's Pastor Newcomer's heart right there. His heart is outreach, reaching this area for Christ, and I know yours is too. So I rejoice in that. But you need to realize Pastor Newcomer can't do it all by himself. In fact, Pastor Newcomer and our deacons, as good a men as they are, they can't reach this area all by themselves. They're going to need you. They're going to need each and every one of you to be a part of that team to reach this area for Christ. You might recall in my last message, I outlined 5 steps that you must do to reach this area for Christ. And so I wanted to introduce this morning by just giving a quick reminder of these 5 points. Step number 1, start by praying. Pray for God to use you to personally reach the people that you know in this area for Christ. That's step number 1. Step number 2, be here. Be here every Sunday, remember? Not just one Sunday a month, not just 2, not even 3, as good as that is. Every Sunday, be here. Realize that when you're here, it encourages the rest of the body. It encourages the pastor. It is a great encouragement for everyone to know that they can count on you to be here every Sunday. And remember the next one? Some of you are sitting near the front. Way to go. I did that little experiment there? Sit in the front half of the auditorium. Okay? By sitting in the front, you are showing love for those who need to sit in the back. Visitors don't have to be embarrassed by having to walk all the way in the front in front of everybody all these strangers that they don't know. Makes them feel very uncomfortable. Realize, I'm in that position right now. You know that? Every Sunday, we're in a different church. And you know what? I've never had to do that in any church I've been to. Every church I've been to, we've been able to sit somewhere in the back half of the auditorium because the members are sitting closer toward the front. And I'm going, wow, way to go. And that makes it easy for me as a visitor. I assure you, visitors don't want to parade their whole family in front of a bunch of strangers on a Sunday morning. So be here and sit in the front. Also, those who have a handicap can sit. They can enter and they can sit and they can leave more easily when there's space back there. Senior citizens sometimes have to physically sit in the back. And there's no good reason anyone should sit in the balcony. I know some churches, they just rope off the balcony and they don't let you go up there. That's my view right there, okay? There's no good reason. We've got all this space. Look around you. See all this space in here? I see this area right in the middle there. There's at least room for 30 people there. And, you know, I've never seen anyone in this church bite anybody. I've never seen them yell at anybody. So there's no good reason to be afraid of anybody. Just come on down, be a part of this body. Let me tell you what, until this church has 300 people sitting in this main floor, there shouldn't be anybody sitting up in the balcony. Now, that's enough for that. But realize that by sitting, but not only by being here, but also sitting near the front, you know what you're doing? You are visually showing your support for your new pastor. And let me tell you something, Pastor Newcomer will appreciate it. He will. He will. And I will remind you, don't be like my previous church in Grand Rapids where they had a 1,200-seat auditorium and everybody sat in the last six rows. And I mean, where Mike is there, that was the closest person to me as I spoke. Think about that. Everybody else was sitting behind him. 1,200-seat auditorium, 150 people in the church. I think they could have sat closer to the front, don't you? So don't be like them. Just come on down to the front. Show your support for the pastor and his leadership, and he will greatly appreciate that. Now, step number three, follow Pastor Newcomer as he follows Jesus. I believe God's going to give Pastor Newcomer a strategy for reaching this community for Christ. And somewhere along the way, he's gonna contact you. I don't know in what way or how. I don't have no idea what the means will be. But somewhere he's going to say, I'd like you to do this. And when that happens, say yes, can you? I heard yes a lot here in our church, and I always rejoiced in that because I also heard no a lot too. Okay, and I assure you, sometimes the no's, it made it a little discouraging sometimes. So encourage your pastor by being willing to do whatever he calls upon you to do, because when he calls upon you to do something, it's to help reach this area for Christ. And I pretty much guarantee that it's going to be something that it might be out of your comfort zone from time to time. And I learned on my first summer ministry team in 1990, they taught us something that I'll never forget. They said, well, what do you do when someone asks you to do something you've never done before? You know what you do? You swallow hard and you do it. That's what you do. So when we were on ministry team and someone would say, Matt, I want you to do this. And I go, oh, I've never done that before. I think I'm pretty confident I'm going to be no good at that. Well, I just swallowed hard and I did it. And let me tell you something, sometimes I didn't do so well. And most likely I didn't get that job again. But every once in a while I'd be surprised and I was like, well, that wasn't so bad. I guess I'm better at that than I thought I was. And the next thing you know, that's what I did. My first ministry, I wasn't even the youth pastor when I went there. The pastor sat me down in his office after 9 months. He says, I'd like you to work with the teenagers. And I swallowed hard and I said, I'm a little disconnected from teenagers. I was like 25 by then, 26. And I go, they're like in a totally different world than I am. Are you sure you want it? He goes, yep, I want you to do it. And so I said, okay, pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to do a great job, but I'll do my best. And next thing you know, I became a youth pastor. So realize that you may not think that you're necessarily good at something, but if God calls upon you to do something, be willing to do it. And if you're no good at it, you probably won't do it again. But it might be an opportunity for you to start being actively involved and start following the Lord and doing various types of ministry. Now, God has given you a good pastor here at Calvary. In fact, I think Pastor Newcomer is an excellent pastor. In Sunday school class with the home builders, I shared a little bit about expectations. So I know that I'm one of those people that has been a cheerleader for Pastor Newcomer. And I want you to know he's not Superman. I know that hopefully that doesn't surprise you, okay? But as much as we look to a senior pastor and say, wow, we want to see some wonderful things happen, realize he's only one man and he can only do so much. And so we need to have realistic expectations and we need to have biblical expectations. We should be saying, what does the Bible expect of Pastor Newcomer? And I assure you, there are people in this auditorium right now that you have certain expectations of Pastor Newcomer and his wife and maybe his kids. And those expectations may be biblical. They may not be. But you know, when I go to a church and I think of what I want in a pastor, you know what I want the pastor to do? I want him to be focusing on meeting God's expectations. Because if he's focused on meeting God's expectations, then God is going to do some work, and there's going to be some people get saved, and that church will be blessed, and it will grow. But if he's focused on meeting my expectations, you know what's going to happen? That poor guy, he's going to be running around like a dog with his tail cut off, because if a person becomes a man-pleaser, guess what? Not only can you not do it, it's just impossible, but you'll eventually just burn out and give up. Because you can't be a man-pleaser in church work. So realize you may have your expectations of Pastor Newcomer and his wife and his family, but realize they need to be realistic. Okay, you might expect him to visit everyone in the church every year, but that's probably not realistic in a church our size, okay? So they need to be realistic and they need to be biblical. Make sure they are. And if you do, that will be an encouragement to him. Now, the Bible gives at least 8 ways that you, as a member here at Calvary, can follow God's leadership through Pastor Newcomer. And those of you who know me, you know that I can do all 8 in pretty fast order, so don't worry about the time. We'll make it here this morning. First of all, pray daily. There are people in our church who told me throughout my entire time here that they were praying for me. I know they were praying for me. I know they prayed for Pastor Rowe when he was here and Pastor Graham when he is here. And realize that that is a great thing when your pastor knows you are praying for them every day. The Apostle Paul even needed that. He asked the Thessalonian Christians to pray for him. He said, brothers, pray for us. He asked them to do that. Pray for Pastor Newcomer, his wife Lori, and their family. Pray for the deacons as they adjust to new leadership. You know, the deacons here at Calvary, I give them a 150 out of 100. They have done an outstanding job. They're even still doing things around here that I notice. I notice we have some new visitors' coffee mugs with a new logo on them. So way to go, everyone who had a part in that. That's all very important. But pray for the deacons because they'll need to adjust to that new leadership as well. Start praying for those who will eventually join Pastor Newcomer's staff. Lord willing, God will bring an associate or someone to come alongside of him and serve with him. So pray now for those people. Also pray specifically. You know what? The Apostle Paul asked for church people to pray for him. He always said certain specific things he wanted them to pray for. In fact, listen to what he said to the Romans. He said, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. You see the specific items that Paul requested prayer for here? He said, pray for my protection, pray for effective service, and pray for opportunity to fellowship together with you. Likewise, to the Colossians, Paul says, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So he asked them to pray for an open door to proclaim the gospel, and he asked them to pray for clarity as he presents God's message to people. So then, how can you pray for your leaders here at Calvary? Pray for them by name and ask God to specifically bless and care for them in all of their relationships. Pray that God would give them wisdom and keep them humble, pure, and effective in ministry. Pray that God would lead them or use them to lead others and to lead this church to reach this area for Christ. So, about a week ago, Pastor Newcomer actually asked for several specific items of prayer. Have you been praying for those things? I know you have. He asked for the sale of their house. Have we heard anything new on that? Okay, as far as I know, the house still isn't sold, so let's continue to pray for the sale of their house and for the timing of their move, that it would be God's time, and also for his counseling of people. Pastor Newcomer has an active counseling ministry, so pray for him as he does that. Pray for their three kids. They're adult children, but pray for them. He has a daughter in Tennessee that he's asked prayer for, a son who served at the Wilds camp down south, and a daughter, his daughter Alicia, as she joins the Galkin evangelistic team. So I thought at this time, we're going to have a little time of prayer here. And so I'm going to have a little moment of silence where each of us can pray silently to God for Pastor Newcomer and his family. And then I will pray at that after a few moments. Okay, so let's look to our Lord during this time and pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, that you've called Pastor Newcomer here to Calvary. We're very excited about this, Lord, and we ask that you would watch over them during this time. We pray that you would help them, Lord, to sell their house. And I pray, Lord, that they might be able to get a good price for it so that their needs might be provided for. And also, Lord, I pray that the timing of their move might fit into your perfect will for them as they come here to Calvary. And Lord, we also want to pray for their children. We pray that you would meet every one of their needs. We think of their daughter, Alicia, as she joins this evangelistic team. We pray that you would use her gifts and abilities to reach people through that ministry, and that this would be a great opportunity for her to grow spiritually as well. We pray for their daughter in Tennessee and their son who served at the Wilds camp, each of them with their various needs, Lord. We pray that you would continue to care for them and use them, Lord, for your honor and glory as well. And we know that Pastor Newcomer has a very active counseling ministry, and you know the needs that there are there, Lord. No doubt these are very serious situations, and I pray, Lord, that you would watch over each and every one of those matters, and that you would use your word in those hearts and their lives to change those people to become more like Jesus. We thank you that you have gifted Pastor Newcomer and his wife both with this ability to counsel people, Lord. What a blessing that is. Please continue to use that gift, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, God doesn't want you to stop with prayer. Prayer is just the beginning. God wants you to act on your prayers. So, as you pray daily, God also wants you to serve diligently. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Dedicate your life to the work of God here at Calvary Baptist Church and this area. Paul appealed to the Romans, saying, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, how can you do this today? Remember, the last time I was with you, I had out on the table there a little sign-up sheet for the Calvary Baptist Outreach Team. Do you remember that? Several of you signed up for that. And I was intending to bring another copy to give you another opportunity, but I do not have that with me. So, one of the deacons, Dave Dietz, or some of the deacons probably have that somewhere, or we can add to that. So if you were not able to sign up for that original one, I want to encourage you to do that. because that's giving the leaders here at Calvary some feedback for the future so that they can know that they can contact you sometime when it's something in the arena of outreach for some part of that, and they'll know that they can contact you about that. But that is one way, one very important way that you can help this church to reach this area for Christ. And so I encourage you to connect with Dave Dietz or one of the deacons and see if you can get your name on that if you were not able to the last time I was here. Now then, serve diligently. I know that here at Calvary Baptist Church, we have people here who've been serving 40 years, some people. Very diligent, very faithful servants of God. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not had the opportunity to get actively involved here at Calvary, I want to encourage you to do that. Not only will it help you to feel more connected, like you get to know people a lot better, but you will also be able to fulfill what gift God has given you to be able to perform the work that he calls you to do here at Calvary. And he will use your gifts and abilities in a wonderful way, I'm sure. Now then, after you are praying daily and serving diligently, your next responsibility toward your leaders is to regard them highly. Regard them highly. Paul said to the Christians at Thessalonica, "Acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work." Why should you esteem God's leaders highly? Because of their work. Serving God is not easy, and true servants are motivated by their love for the Lord. I praise God for all the leaders here at Calvary. Who could ask for a better Caleb Club leaders than Mark and Brenda Meredith? Amen? Who could ask for a better trustee chairman than Fred Crothers, and better trustees than all the hard workers we here have here at Calvary? Amen? They're even doing work that since I left. I see all kinds of stuff they've already done. I praise God for that. These men work hard, and God is using them in a wonderful way. Several years ago, there was an area church that closed down, and some people from that church came to our church. This is, I don't know, like 10 years ago or so. And several of them said that they were trustees, that they cared for the facilities there. And I said, looked at them, and I said, "Have we got the place for you?" God knew, and he was taking care of our church building, and he's been using these men. There are men here every day of the week, literally every day of the week, caring for this facility, and I praise God for that. Who could ask for a better deacon chairman than Dave Dietz, and better deacons than what we have here at Calvary? These are wonderful men. So when Pastor Newcomer asked me about the deacons, I said, you couldn't ask for better deacons than our deacons, and you couldn't ask for a better chairman than Dave Dietz. And these are wonderful men. Honestly, I mean, as far as my opinion, they're the best deacons I've ever seen personally in my life. And God really cares for this church in a wonderful way. These leaders are doing a great work, and you need to hold them in the highest regard. Your next responsibility toward your leaders is to obey willingly. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Obedience and submission. Two things we don't typically like to do, right? Not me. I'm just like you. Those are two things we don't usually want to do. Yet, God calls us to obey and submit to the authority of the leaders he provides. When is it necessary to obey and submit? Usually when we disagree, right? All right, well, mark this down. There will be occasions when you may not agree with the leaders. I know that's hard to believe right now. And Pastor Newcomer's not even here yet, and I can guarantee you there's going to be some, you know, eventually there's going to be something you don't personally agree. Well, what do you do then? Well, if a leader tells you to disobey what God tells you, who do you obey, God or man? God, right. You know how many times that's happened to me in my life? It's never happened. I've never had a church leader that told me to do something that went against what God had to say. So it's pretty unlikely that that's going to happen. But what about those times a leader wants me to do something that doesn't go against Scripture, but I still disagree with them? What do I need to do then? I think I heard a bunch of different things there. Obey and submit. Obey and submit. You know, God holds that leader accountable for his decision, or those leaders. Sometimes it's the deacons. He holds them accountable for that decision. You know what he holds you accountable for? Following. Obeying and submitting. And that brings us to the fifth way you can support your new pastor. Follow dutifully. Follow dutifully. Pastor Rowe used to say, godly churches follow godly leaders. One way to follow is to be flexible. Flexible. You've heard the joke, right? I know you've heard this one. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Anyone? There you go. Thank you, Paul. Paul has heard the joke. What do you mean, change? That's right. Listen, there's a reason why this is said about Baptists more than some other groups. When it comes to the truth, that's a good thing. I like the fact that Baptists are resistant to change when it comes to truth, because we ought to resist change. I don't quickly embrace a new truth from somebody teaches in the Bible. I say, oh, I've never heard that before. You know what? I don't just jump on that. I chew it over for a while. I think it over. I look at the Bible. I look at other verses. And I say, okay, let me see if this is right. You know, that's the way we should be when it comes to truth, okay? We should be very slow to accept something new that we've never heard before, because it may be true, it may not be true. We need to make sure that we check it out and be like the Bereans to make sure that it's what God says in the Bible. But what's good about truth isn't so good when it comes to methods. How we do things and how we accomplish the job that God has us to do. Baptists are sometimes a little slow to change when it comes to new methods and new ways of accomplishing God's work. There's only one truth, okay, but there are many possible methods to accomplish the work that God has us to advance. God's truth does not change. But the ways that we do God's work must change, especially in the rapidly changing environment that we live in today. In a different church I once attended, for 4 years, the order of service was almost identical every week. 4 years. And then, after 4 years, the pastor got up the courage, because they sang the doxology at the beginning of the service every week for 4 years, the pastor said, you know what, I'm going to do something a little different for a little while here. We won't sing the doxology, we'll sing something else there. You know what happened? The very next deacon's meeting, a man actually said, I'm not kidding you, he said, you know, I just don't feel like I'm worshiping unless we have the doxology in the service. And some of the other deacons, I see that. You know, I'm like going, you realize that some people are so inflexible, a pastor can't even change the order of service. Come on. That is so ridiculous, okay? Absolutely ludicrous. And you think that church was reaching people for Christ? That church was dying. Dying. They were so focused on their own stuff that they were doing in the church, they had no idea of reaching people for Christ at all. Nobody showed up for visitation. I did visitation alone for 4 years every Thursday night. That was not fun. Not fun. Now, here's the news. I know it's hard to believe, but Pastor Newcomer is not Pastor Graham. Pastor Graham was a wonderful man. I thought he had a great way of doing things. But Pastor Newcomer is going to do things differently. He just is. He's a different man, different pastor. There's going to be different things that he's going to do that may be new to us. And when he does that, what's your job? It's to follow. Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, here's the question. What if he brings immediate radical change to the point that I don't even like this church anymore, right? That's always the fear. It's always the fear. Well, here's the answer. Here's my answer, at least. That's what the candidating process was for, okay? That's why our deacons were so meticulous, so careful in meeting with them several times and talking with them so that they know this man's not going to come in and just wreck this church, okay? He's not going to do that. That's why he came before the church body and you had the opportunity to do questions and answers so that you have a confidence that's not going to happen. I am absolutely confident that Pastor Newcomer is not going to wreck this church because of what? He's not a wrecker. He's a builder. You know what a wrecker looks like? I can spot a wrecker pretty quickly. A wrecker is like this. They focus on their own personal success. They aren't focused on building disciples for Jesus. They're focused on building their own little kingdom. And so they look for shortcuts to get big numbers. They want to pack the pews in order to what? Look successful in the eyes of men. Well, here in America, that's what Americans think success is. When a guy can pack the pews. You know what Pastor Newcomer is? He's a discipler. He's a builder. He's going to care for this flock like Jesus would care for the flock. And I have absolute confidence in that. You know, even if a church had a million people in it, if it's not making genuine disciples for Christ, I would not want to be in it. I'd rather be in a church of three people where the people are true disciples than at a church of a million where they're not. And I believe you would as well. Amen? Pastor Newcomer understands that disciples need time to grow and churches need time to become what God wants them to be. And you know what that means? It means time. Okay? When he comes here, it's going to be very exciting, and it's going to be wonderful, and I trust you'll be inviting friends to come here, Pastor Newcomer, and all that. That'll be great. But realize, as much as we wish it was true, this auditorium is probably not going to be full overnight. Okay? It's going to take time for Pastor Newcomer to build the body here at church, for God, actually, to build the body here at Calvary through Pastor Newcomer and the leaders here. So, be patient. Be patient. Work hard and be patient, and over time, you'll see some good things here at Calvary Baptist Church. I'm very confident of that. So, when Pastor Newcomer, I don't know what it is. I don't know what his plans are, but I know how this works. When he says, you know, I'd like to do this and whatever it is, and it's different than anything you've ever done before, don't give him a hard time, okay? Don't say, hold on, Pastor, we've never done things that way before. That's like one of the last seven sayings of a dying church. We've never done it that way before. Or, hold on, Pastor, you know, some people are going to have a hard time with that. That's the other one. I tell you what, that's a stopper right there. I've seen good men, they hear that and they go, oh, well, I better be careful there. Okay, listen, don't do that. If you do that to your new pastor, Pastor Matt's going to say, you know, I'm going to come back here and whap you up alongside the head, okay? Now, I can't afford to do that, to come back here and do that, but I'm going to be doing it spiritually, okay? Now, don't do that to your new pastor. Listen, this church absolutely must do what it takes to start reaching people for Christ in this area. And as you know, I mentioned last time, a lot of churches are not growing right now. For Calvary to grow numerically, you will need to make necessary changes in order for Calvary to be what God wants it to be. And Pastor Newcomer is going to do everything that he can do to equip you to reach people for Christ. It is absolutely imperative for you to follow your new shepherd to become what God wants this church to become. Will you do that? Amen. That's what I like to hear. Will you make the necessary changes for Calvary to grow? I know you will. I know you will. And when you do, realize that Pastor Mills, Pastor Graham, excuse me, and all the other pastors who are with God in heaven, Pastor Rowe and I, And Pastor Hall, those who are here on earth today, we'll be looking and we'll be smiling. We'll be very proud of you that you're following your new pastor. Excuse me for a second. But most of all, Jesus will be smiling. He wants you to follow your new shepherd. Number six, protect carefully. Protect carefully. Paul gives this command to Timothy. He says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. You know, when a person accepts the responsibility of being a leader, he becomes a target of Satan and his followers. Our world hates godly pastors. They really do. And they do everything they can to try to tarnish their reputation. As a result, it is vital to protect your leaders because someone can slander their character and damage their reputation. Accusations should be dealt with seriously by considering evidence of witnesses. If two or three credible witnesses agree and the evidence is substantiated, then wrongdoing must be dealt with accordingly. I know Calvary's not one of those churches that tries to sweep things under the rug. That's not the right way to handle things, and we know there are, very tragically, churches in our country that have done that, and they've given the name of Christ a terrible name, and they've greatly hurt the cause of Christ. Terrible. So if there is something that is substantiated, you got the witnesses agreeing, then I know Calvary will deal with it. But if someone falsely slanders a leader, then the slanderer must be dealt with for their wrongdoing, and the leader should continue to be considered innocent. Now you say, I get that, but what should I do if I think a leader has wronged me personally? Okay, well, the answer is not to tell others about it, but to address it privately with the leader. Address privately. What does Jesus say? He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Unless he's a leader, right? Then you can just tell everybody in the church and do that. No, that's not what it says. You know, here's a shocking revelation. Leaders are human. They are human. If you know me, you know I'm very human. I make mistakes all the time. Well, what does that mean? That means, guess what? They are sinners too. I know that's something we don't think about all the time, but leaders are sinners too. We know that in our heads, but sometimes people hold leaders to an impossible standard of perfection. And sometimes they live in fear that if they ever do anything wrong, well, that's it, they're done, they'll never be able to serve God again. Well, that is just plain wrong. Leaders make mistakes, and sometimes they sin just like everyone else. Here's a general way to handle such a situation, okay? And I do want to say one thing. There's a caveat here. I do need to say that there are sometimes situations which require a matter to be handled differently, such as sexual abuse, okay? But that's not what I have in view here, okay? I'm talking minor incidences where a leader sins against you as an individual, okay? Big situations like sexual abuse, those things have to be dealt with in a different way, and they have to be really taken care of correctly. But here I'm talking about Matthew 18, just an individual sin against you as a person. Okay? So, as a general rule, this is how it should be done. Okay? If you become aware of a sin matter or there's something between you and the leader, you need to ask that leader for a private meeting in which you attempt to reconcile the problem. Okay? That is the way Christianity is supposed to work. And it's been my experience here at Calvary, that is the way Calvary operates. And I pray that you will continue to do so. I can tell you there were times in my ministry where I did something that wasn't quite right. And the person knocked on my door, came in my office, sat down, and then they shared it with me. I go, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I should not have done that. And I'm very quick to say, you're right. Yep, I should not have done that. And I ask their forgiveness because I'm a leader doesn't mean I'm held to a different standard. I too need to admit my faults and confess my sins. So realize that if there's a private matter like that, make sure you take care of it between you and the leader, and that protects the whole church. Sadly, every now and then I hear of a story about a leader who is the last person to find out that somebody is casting accusations about him or her throughout the church. And that is just plain wrong, okay? Whether you're a church member or a leader. Okay, that's not the way Christianity is supposed to work. Just as we ought to privately confront any Christian who sins against us, we ought to especially do that with a leader. And you know what might just happen? You might actually find out that your facts aren't quite correct. That sometimes happens. Where, man, you think, oh, that's it, this guy did it, and I'm going to go in and confront him. And you find, oh, that's not actually what happened. You go, oh, boy, I'm really glad I dealt with this privately. Yes, that does happen sometimes. But sometimes he's not innocent. And either way, a private issue should remain just that. Now then, sometimes a leader is guilty, and yet he refuses to admit his sin after being confronted. Well, man, what do you do then? Well, when that happens, what does Matthew 18 say? You take it to the leaders of the church, okay? Then you take it to the other leaders so that they can deal with it accordingly. And ask yourself this question. If you were a leader, is this not how you would want it done for you? Is that right? I think so. I think you would want it done that way for you. Here's a general rule of thumb for handling conflict. Handle every matter at the lowest possible level. Handle every matter at the lowest possible level. If someone sins against you, then deal with it between you and that person alone. If others already know about a sin, then only those who are aware should address it. The problem should not grow bigger unless there is a failure to deal with it at the lower level. That's what Matthew 18 teaches, and that is wise. Here's one last way you can support your leaders. I told you I would get you out here on time. We're going to get you out here early, Lord willing. And that is, give generously. This is something you don't hear pastors talk about very often, especially if they love God and are motivated by serving him. They don't talk about money that often. But in all honesty, one way you can support your leaders here is to give generously, as I know Calvary does. The Bible says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. It's talking about not just esteem, but it's also talking about financial care. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. I think I mentioned in my video last summer, or a few months ago, I consider Pastor Newcomer a better preacher, a better teacher, a better Bible student than I am myself. This man is going to labor in preaching and teaching. The scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. And it says the laborer deserves his wages. So, if you have good leaders, what do? You take care of them. That's what you do. If you want them to stay a while, you take care of them. That's been my general observation, that churches that don't take care of their pastor are usually hurting themselves. And usually what happens over time, they end up with a series of pastors who only stay for about 2 years. 2 years gone, 2 years gone, 2 years gone, 2 years. Tell you what, if that's happening, more than likely that church isn't caring for the pastor to the level that is necessary. Because pastors, I know it's really crazy, but they have this way of wanting to stick around if you take care of them. They do. Listen, I was here for 16 years, so what does that tell you? Calvary took care of me. Amen? It did. I love this church, and Calvary has always been really good to me, but they do tend to stick around if you take care of them, so give generously. Don't be the person who says, Lord, you keep pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. Let me tell you something about this. That's humorous, but it's not so humorous if you're like the retired pastor I know, who once had a ministry which was slowly growing. It was growing, but it was slow. And his family was facing starvation. I am not kidding you. No food at all in the house. The family was living on pot pies every day to survive. Why? Because the ones who made the financial decisions in his church refused to pay him enough to feed his family. But what that wasn't the worst part. Incredibly, in a private conversation, one financial leader jokingly said to his face, "Lord, you keep pastor humble and we'll keep him poor." Oh, not so funny now, is it? Not when that pastor is watching his family starve. To this day, he still remembers the pain. And that is a shame and disgrace. Not surprisingly, that pastor left that church not too long after that. You know where that church is today? It doesn't exist. It didn't last much longer than that. The next pastor after that was it. That was the last pastor for that church. And, you know, it may shock you, but many full-time pastors are actually paid below the poverty level. Okay? And not here at Calvary, I can tell you that, but other churches, many of them. I know one guy, I think, like 15 years ago, he was paid something like $25 a week. And I'm like going, what is up with that? I mean, $25 a week. So obviously he had to have another full-time job, but nothing wrong with that as long as he has an outside job. But believe it or not, there are actually some churches that say, even though they can't afford to pay enough for a pastor, they say, nope, we don't want you to have an outside job. Now, that's not right, okay? God calls that man to care for his family, and if the church can't do it, then they need to allow him to have that outside job to care for his family. So I'm thankful that Calvary's not like that. Calvary has been very good. It has taken great care of every man that I've known here personally, as well as I myself. So I know I'm speaking to the choir a little bit on that. I'm just encouraging you to keep on doing what you've been doing. You have an excellent pastor now, and so excellent pastors are very hard to find. Our deacons know that. They look at a lot of resumes, and this man is an excellent man. So make sure you take care of him. I'm certain that he will be one who rules well and labors diligently in the word. And so take care of him and his staff accordingly. And if you do that, there's no question in my mind, they will take care of you. Calvary will move forward. It will start to reach this area for Christ. And Lord willing, this auditorium will eventually be full once again.